Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by one of my close personal friends, former college tennis player, Jose Porfirio. Jose is now an investment portfolio advisor. And on the show, we talk about how curiosity led him into that field, why you need to embrace being uncomfortable, and how he learned that there are no shortcuts getting to where you want to go. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. This is a very exciting episode for me. One of my closest friends, a guy who just lives with a championship mindset, is here with us today. Jose Porfirio, welcome to the show.
How are you, Ben? How's everything going, man?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. We're continents apart, but the distance will not separate us. We're here today, and I'm excited for what you have in store for us.
Me too, man. I'm very, very glad to be here with you. I'm really excited for the conversation. Always good things happen when we talk, so oh, I'm ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you kind of catch us up, give us a little context as to what you're doing now and what you do on a kind of day-to-day basis?
Yeah, sorry. Of course, I studied at Lynn about 3 years ago. I finished my MBA. Then I worked for about a year and a half in two investment banks back in Miami. But then COVID hit and I had to, like, everything with the visa got a little strange. So I unfortunately had to come back to my hometown. And then I decided to start for the CFA exams. I don't know if you guys know what it is, but it's like a finance exam for investment banking, basically. It's not very specific for a role, but it covers mostly everything from the industry. So I did that. I passed the three exams. I'm done with that. And I'm currently looking for a job, either here in Spain or Europe or back in the US. I don't really know where it's going to be, but I'm very excited to come back to the workforce.
So what has that process kind of been like, be coming out of school and then building into where you are now, where you're looking for a job, you have your MBA, you're taking the certifications. What has that whole process been like, kind of navigating through the things that you needed to do?
Yeah, so I remember my last year at Lynn, that it was a little confused because I was about to finish my MBA. I was also a student athlete. It's difficult for every student to be done with school, but I feel like for student athletes, it's a little bit even more complicated because, I mean, you've been playing the sport for your whole life, playing that sport and practicing every day, working out every day, specifically for tournaments and competing. And then when school is over, you're basically done with the sport, unless you are a top player. Which it wasn't the case for me. I wish, but I was done.
You're still pretty good. Still pretty good.
I remember that I was a little bit confused. I was looking for internships in Miami. I studied finance, so I was looking for a bank. It was tough. I remember that I applied for so many, and the very last day that I was about to give up, I was like, okay. I didn't find anything. I'm going back home. But then the very last day, I received a call from Sabadell, from a bank, and they told me to start with them. So the journey was rather complicated, you know, because I had to get used for something totally different. Like Lean, it's basically like the parties, you know, like you wake up, I don't know, like whenever your first class is, then you have the car, then you go to practice. Everybody there is nice. You get to talk to your friends. You get to know many people there that are really friendly with you. Mm-hmm. And then going to the work, the work environment is totally different, and even more at a bank. You know, like there, like people there are like sharks. You know, like they expect you to be there quick on time. They expect you to be super sharp every day, you know? So yeah, I remember that it was a little bit tough to get used to that because, I mean, the working hours used to be from 8 a.m. in the morning till 7:30 p.m. in the afternoon. So the transition was a little bit tough. I enjoyed it. I have to say that I really liked it because I like pressure. I like to be, I want people to be on top of me, you know, like, so it was stressful, but I have to say that I liked that environment, you know? So I was working at this bank for a year and a half. And then, like I said, COVID hit and everything changed a little bit. I had to go back to studying, which I still really like because you guys will see, I have a few books for you for later. I love reading and I love studying, which is impressive to like that I'm saying that. Like if I were to say this 5 years ago, I would be like, there is no chance this is me. And Ben can say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like my mindset changed completely, you know, once I went to work.
And so what do you think was that shift in your mindset transitioning from like you were 5 years ago to now this desire and this enjoyment for studying and improvement? Where do you think that shift came from?
I realized that, because I'm sorry to say it, but like I was very lazy at the beginning. You know, like I used to, when I used to go to classes, I used to do the least I could, you know, but which I regret now, you know, because I remember having very good teachers and at Lynn, furthermore, that they really enjoyed teaching and they really like for you to learn. But I wasn't very focused on my academics. But then when I was working, I realized that I needed more knowledge. You know, when I came out of college, I realized that I didn't really have everything I needed, you know. And then I started to hang out with the people from the bank. And I used to talk to them and I was, they used to amazed me, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like I was extremely impressed by their knowledge, you know. I remember talking to them and being super impressed by the things that they had to say. I'm in the finance industry, so I was amazed by the things that they said about the markets, about how they interpreted news, about the lessons of history, you know, that they were applying day to day. With the news that would impact the market, so that I feel like talking to them and seeing how they worked and the way they talked made me realize that I needed more knowledge, you know, and I was actually eager to learn because I realized that is what I loved, you know. I really like capital markets, you know, and everything that impacts stocks in particular. So yeah, I feel like that was the turning point when I was talking to these people and they were a source of knowledge for me.
So when you got into this job, got in the bank, and even the stuff that you're doing now, coming out of school more specifically, was there a feeling of this idea of imposter syndrome, meaning that like you were surrounded by all of these knowledgeable people? Did you ever feel like, hey, maybe I don't belong? Or did you always feel like this was where you wanted to be? What was kind of your mindset with all of that?
Totally. It got me off guard for sure, you know, because I thought, you know, I was very gullible, you know, like I was like, okay, I have a major in finance. I have an MBA in financial valuation, investment management. So I was like, I know a lot of stuff. I mean, I knew that I didn't know everything, but I was like, I feel like I am prepared to go there. And then once I got there, I realized, man, I know nothing. I had no clue. I remember once I had a conversation with my boss, and I had no clue what to say. You know, the guy was asking me things, and I was like, I was quiet, and I'm usually not a very quiet person. You know, So at that point, I was like, I need to work my ass off to get to the point to not to where he is, because I mean, he's a professional that has been doing this for 35 plus years. But I need to be able to have a conversation with them, you know? So yeah, at the beginning, I was a little bit scared. I was like, maybe I'm not going to be able to, because I was like these things are so complicated. I'm not very a big math guy. So yeah, at the beginning I was a little bit scared, but I knew inside of me that I was able to do it. You know, I just had to study, to put the hours in, to read a lot. Yeah, I was like, one side of me was scared, but the other one was like excited. You know, I was like, okay, I have this opportunity to learn as much as I can, to put myself there, you know? So I remember, man, staying super late at night, studying, reading everything I could get to my hands. I remember going through the halls of the banks, you know, just asking questions, you know, like, why is this? Like, do you have like any advice for me? One book that I can read to learn a little bit more about this topic, any like certification that I can get to learn more. So yeah, it made me also mature a lot. You know, the fact that I realized that I had no clue what was going on made me realize that, look, I need to put the hours, you know?
Mm-hmm. So where do you start when you're in that position, when you're learning something? And it's not a bad position to be in, this opportunity for growth like you were in knowledge, where you feel like, hey, I don't know everything. That's a great place to be because that means there's so much room for growth, but it can also be really overwhelming. So where do you start when there's so much knowledge to learn and you're never ever going to be able to learn enough? How do you manage that and how do you attack that in a good way?
I had this question when I was there. You know, I remember I was like, my second or third day at work, I was like, okay, I need to learn this today.
Right.
It's impossible that I can do this, you know? So I remember that I was asking questions to my boss. I got really lucky that he was from Malaga, which is literally an hour and a half away from my hometown, you know? So I remember asking him questions. Look, what is the best thing that I can do now? I remember that I had to start from the basics, you know, like, cause I had courses of economics at LIM, but I didn't really pay much attention, you know? So I was clueless. And also the problem was that it was not basic economic. You know, like once you get to the work, like to your job and stuff, you apply like not the easy stuff, you know? So I remember that I had to start from the basic, but it was also good that everything that I was learning after work, I would apply it the next morning, you know, like literally the next morning, like every topic that I would study the day before, the next day would come up, and it really helped me putting things together, you know? It was stressful at the beginning, but little by little, I got used to it, you know? I remember even like basic concepts of like, what is a stock? What is a bond? How does the central bank impact the market? What type of rates are important, you know? But this, like I said, the thing that excited me the most was that everything that I was studying on my own, I would apply it the next morning, you know? So yeah, the best advice that I could say is any step that you take forward is going to take you somewhere. You know, anything is better than doing nothing, you know, like moving, even if you go forward and then you move backwards, at least you move, it's better than staying
in the same place,
you know, like doing nothing.
No, definitely. And that's something that I'm such a big believer in, that idea of starting with what you have, because whether it's, you know, filming and editing in my case, you know, a lot of the things that I do, or like in your case, you know, gaining the knowledge where there's so much out there and you can never have enough. And if you're waiting until everything is like perfectly put in place, you're never going to get started, versus just jumping and opening that book or walking down the hall and asking that question, I think is such a big, big piece of advice that you can share, and then something that you can apply. So kind of going back to this whole process of studying and consuming this information, did you develop any strategies or any particular processes to study this information? What was your game plan for consuming it and then applying it the next day?
So like I said, I remember the second or third day at work, I remember my boss telling me, let's go for lunch. Let's have a conversation at lunch, you know? And then there I asked him, Mario, because that is his name, what can I do to improve, man? Like, because I know that I'm not at the place that I should be now. Tell me what to do. And he talked to me about the CFA exams. He told me the best advice that I can give you is to take the CFA exams, because that is it is from the CFA Institute. So they give you a curriculum. They give you like 3,000 pages for each exam, you know? So at the end it's like 10,000 pages. So I remember literally eating those pages, you know, like every day after work, I would start reading. The best advice for me to tell to other people is that studying takes time, you know? Like there is no shortcut for studying. It is like, if there is something that you really want to learn about, you will have to put those hours in. You need to put the effort there, but then you will see the results. Like, there is no, I'm going to read a few pages and then I will get everything. Like, you can pass through an exam like that, you know, but you need to be like a sponge, you know what I mean? Like the thing that you shower with, like you need to get all the information there. And for me, I remember that better than trying to, like, for example, read a paragraph and then repeating the paragraph straight. For me, it was more useful to really understand what the paragraph was trying to say. You know, like to get the understanding out of it, and then making connections with paragraphs. You know, like connecting ideas with each other, and then like putting myself in a situation, for example, because in capital markets, it's very important to understand the news and then making a decision out of the news, you know? So I remember putting myself on that situation and being like, okay, what would I do? Like, with everything that I've learned today, what would I do if this happens? You know, so I would go through each idea and be like, okay, this tells me to do this, but this other idea is telling me to do that, you know, because in economics, there is not a single rule that you follow and then everything works. We have many rules that they may conflict with each other, you know, and then they may be right at times, you know? So, okay, at this point I will do this. So putting real life examples really did help, because it also helped me think, you know, it made me put those ideas into practice. And I find that much more useful than literally repeating what you are learning, you know? And I feel like by doing that, ideas stick to your head better. That is just my personal opinion. But then again, like I said, this strategy takes even more time than just repeating the paragraph, you know? So there is no shortcut for putting the effort there. But what I was studying was something that I really liked. And so I had passion for what I was studying, you know? So that made things better.
No, definitely. And that's such a important kind of mindset to go into it with, understanding that it's not, like you say, I don't have to know everything today. It's this continual process of gaining more and more knowledge. And when you have that attitude where I don't have to learn all today, I can build off of it, it allows you to really dissect that paragraph, because you're not having to just get through, you know, the books. And so it sounds like you took an approach where it aided you in your ability to get there. No, so that's awesome. So this is one of my favorite questions, something that I'm so interested in talking with people who are in all these different fields. So you're saying you're so passionate about investments and the economy and economics and all the things that you're doing. Where did that come from? Was this something that you discovered somewhere along the way, whether in school, after school? Why are you doing the things you're doing now?
I have no idea, man. That is something that I have asked that question to myself. I was like, where did I get that? Because at the beginning, it wasn't a passion, you know, it was something that I was curious, you know, I was like, And also even more in Spain, we don't, I mean, we have developed financial markets for sure, but it is not as big of a deal as in the US, you know? But I remember even when I didn't go to the US, like when I was studying here in Spain, I remember that that I had that curiosity, you know, about what is the stock market? Because I remember asking that question to myself, like many times before going to school, like, what is the stock market? Like, what is the economy? Like, I remember watching the news or watching the TV news, you know, like the everyday thing, being like, why I don't understand anything. Like I was watching the news and I was like, I don't, what is the economy? Like what is, why people are losing their jobs? Like what are politics? What is, like, why there is a president coming out and one coming in? So I was very curious about that. So I think that economics puts everything together, you know, because the economy is impacted by many different forces. Even when you go to Walmart and you buy one pencil over another one, that transaction says a lot about the economy and about yourself. You know, economy, it's also very, it has a very psychological component that I'm also very interested on it too, you know. And also, I remember that, well, if you want to make money out of the economy, the best thing that, like, the best way to do it is through the stock market. You know, like, if you have an idea about where the economy is going to be in 3 months, the best way for you to make money out of that is to put in your bets on the stock market, you know? So first, I got introduced to the economy because it was the way to put politics, psychology, transactions all together. And then I guess that investment came out of the idea of how can I make money out of my opinion of how the economy will be whenever, you know, or how particular companies are gonna develop, you know. So I think that's how I started. Like I told you, man, it wasn't a moment that I was like, okay, I got it, I'm gonna do economics and finance and investment. It was more of like a curiosity that it had since I was young.
Yeah, no, I love that. So looking forward, you're having these exams coming up, you're studying for the exams. Fast forward 5, 6, 7 years, what is the goal? What are you working towards within the financial and economics field?
My dream is to become a portfolio manager, you know? I don't know if that is gonna be working for a financial firm, or if it's gonna be just myself doing it, you know, like me, like creating a company or something. I know that I don't wanna start a company now, because of course I don't have, even if I have now, like the technical stuff, like the things that are in the books, like those things are important. That is very technical and it is the base that you need to have, but then you need to be able to apply that, you know? So I know right now I have the tech, like, I would be able to have a conversation, let's say, with my boss, but I know that I wouldn't be able to make as good decisions as him, you know? So that's why I'm looking for a job where I can grow, you know, I can learn, like spend time with people that are smarter than me, you know, and learn how they think, why they think how they think, you know? And maybe in 5 or 10 years down the road, maybe start my asset management firm, you know? I don't know. I'm at a stage where I just want to learn. You know, I'm very not money driven. You know, I really want to learn and be able to, as I was inspired by my boss, I want to be like that, you know? So I want to be able to inspire other people and because I remember that he loves investment, like investing, you know? So I want to be able to be like him, you know, like to inspire other people to get to this field, to learn, So I'm just at a growth stage, I guess.
Why don't we start some of that inspiration right now? I know, like you mentioned, you have some show and tell for us. You got a few books. Share some you brought by.
So I have two things that I have to say. First, like I said before, I would 5 years before now, I would have never believed that I would be doing this, you know, like showing books at a podcast. That would be the last thing that I would think of myself. But I found through the CFA exams that I love studying, you know, like I love reading, I love putting myself into new things, you know. So in my opinion, the best way to do that is with YouTube, like watching videos about the topics that you want, reading and listening to podcasts, you know. So I have 5 books. I was gonna do the top 3, but it ended up being the top 3 plus 2.
Hey, love it. That's called investing. It's the return on the investment. You know, I asked for 3, I got 2 back. So
you got it. So first, I have Principles from Ray Dalio. This is a very famous book. Ray Dalio is the founder of Bridgewater Associates, which is the biggest asset management firm in the world. He's one of the most successful investors all time. And he decided to make a book about his principles, like not the investment principles, but his life principles, like the principles that got him to where he is right now. It is an amazing book. Like it's probably my favorite book, you know, like I'm super amazed by Ray Dalio because just how successful he is. And he's probably for me, he's an inspiration for me, definitely. So that's why it impacted me so much, you know. But I think that in any other field, you can apply these principles. Great book.
So I've got to check it out.
It's a little bit long, but it's worth it for sure. Then I have here The Power of Habit. Why we do what we do and how to change it. This one is shorter. It is not as deep as the other one, because with the other one you get to like get to know yourself a lot, you know. But this one helps you understand why you do the things that you do and how to change them. It shows you a habit loop and how can you change by changing little things. You can affect the whole cycle. And if you have, for example, let's say phone addiction or whatever, it shows you like little tricks that you can do that will help you achieve your goal, which in this case would be to spend less time in your iPhone. Again, like I said before, there is no shortcuts for putting the effort in, you know, like even if you know the loop, you are still gonna have to like to put the effort in. So no shortcuts anywhere. Okay, so this third book is called Sapiens, From Animals to God. This one is because I have it in Spanish, so I don't know the exact title. It's a brief humankind history. This book is being recommended by people like Bill Gates. You know, like Bill Gates wrote a whole article about the book. This guy is extremely knowledgeable. It's about history, but it's not gonna be like in 711 before Christ, the Islams had to leave the Spain peninsula. You know, it's not gonna be like that. It really helps you understand how meaningless we are in the whole history of the planet, you know. It shows you how our brain it changed throughout time, it really changes your mind, you know. It helps you understand like how quick things happen, you know, and how quickly things have changed in the past 200 years. Two more. The Wim Hof Method, life-changing book. It is, I have to say, not the best well-written book, but every single, it's called the Wim Hof Method. Activate your potential, transcend your limits. I actually had a conversation with Ben about this book a few weeks ago. It's a very inspirational book. For me, it's been life-changing. It talks about breath techniques, cold therapy, and the power of your mind, and how those three things come together and you can really achieve impressive results. Again, like I said before, you have to put the effort in. But if you are diligent and you work on a daily basis, you will see impressive results. And I am a living proof of it. You know, like, it has really changed me. And the last one, The Power of Now. The author is Eckhart Tolle. This one, Eckhart Tolle, or I don't know how to say it. You can see it here, Eckhart Tolle. Yep. This one, again, these two last books have been life-changing for me. The Power of Now changes how you think, you know, and it helps you understand that you have to be present in the moment. Like, the only thing that matters is the here and the now, and that is the only thing that you have, you know. Like, there is no such a thing as the past or the future, because you are actually always in the present moment, you know. Like tomorrow, you are going to be in the now of tomorrow. Like, so starting with that concept, he develops the idea into a whole thing, you know. So super, I highly recommend it. If I would have to recommend only two books, the last two and the first one are life-changing for me.
I love that. And what's so exciting for me, the entire time you're introducing these books and you're giving the brief explanation on them, what I thought was so cool, and this is something I'm, aside from all this, going to look into too, so I appreciate the book suggestions, but that no matter what field you're in, you can apply this stuff, the philosophies like you were mentioning, which I think is so powerful, is looking for things around you in your life that you can take from. And I had this conversation with Rigo in one of the past episodes, is what can we take from other industries and apply them to our own? So we don't have to just, if I'm in finance, I don't have to only take things from other financial analysts. Let me take things from a biologist. Let me take things from a videographer, you know, all these different things, like you're saying, because it helps you think more critically, helps you focus, helps you do all these things that may not be relevant to your field, but become relevant when you apply them. So I think that's incredibly awesome. And I love the fact that you're here ready to learn. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah. One more thing about that is that it helps you put yourself in the eyes of someone else, you know, like it helps you understand how other people think, you know. So, and then, like you said, maybe you can apply that to your field.
No, definitely. So it is that time of the show where we are wrapping things up, and it is time to cash out, give the people at home a little extra money for their day. This is where you leave us with your biggest piece of advice, best lesson you've learned along the way. So what do you have for us today?
So what I have is, it's not going to be a surprise, to read as much as you guys can, to expose yourself to as many different situations as you guys can, to put yourself into uncomfortable positions. It will get more comfortable. Like, the more you put yourself in uncomfortable positions, the more you're going to enjoy it. And to get to talk and to know as many people as possible, with different backgrounds, different ideas, and even more, to talk to people who you disagree with, you know, to get into thoughtful disagreements. I think that is super important.
Beautiful. Jose, you're a champion on the tennis court. Now you're a champion of life. Always a pleasure sitting down with you and getting to hear a little bit about you. Thanks for coming on today.
Great, man. Ben, thank you very much for having me, and it was a pleasure talking to you.